Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Top of the morning, Dan and Amy. Listen up, small business owner operators. Payroll Protection Program. An important development last night. The Senate passed by unanimous consent a five-week extension for the Payroll Protection Program, setting a new deadline of August 8th. Now, that's good news because you have $130 billion in funds that have not been distributed, that have not been applied for and thus not distributed, with respect to that second round of PPP funding after that first round of PPP funding, you know, flew out the door. And so, look, we're talking about, we've been talking this week about 25% of restaurants that may go away in New York and Chicago.
Yeah, one out of four hotels are going to shut down.
Hotels as well, particularly service sector businesses. It's important to note there is still this money available that has been appropriated by Congress. Now, this still needs to pass the House and be signed by the president, but I suspect it will. And so there is still those dollars available. You know, try to save as many businesses as you can, no matter how stupid some of the policies are at the state and local level.
But you and I both know people, small business owners, that are still waiting and hoping for this round of PPE that they will get it. Not PPE, PPP, excuse me. That they'll get some of the funds so they can save their business.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're not getting satisfaction from your bank, if your bank is failing you in terms of helping guide you through the process of getting those funds, then find a new bank. I mean, we had, Signature Bank is a show sponsor, but in Chicago, the first round of PPP, Signature Bank, 100% of their clients got funded. You know, they were on it, and other banks too were on it, on the application process, working with the clients, helping them, and it got done. So,
yeah,
it,
but people at bigger banks, I remember Bank of America,
yes,
they're still waiting.
There were the bigger banks didn't perform as well because, frankly, it's less in their interest with their bigger clients. This is for the littler guys. And so you need banks that are as agile as the entrepreneurs they serve. But you know, send the message out. There are still funds available. Go get those funds and try and keep your business afloat if that's what you want to do. And I know that's what most business owners want to do. For more on this, we're pleased to be joined by Jovita Carranza. She is the 26th administrator of the U.S. Small Business Administration and former treasurer of the United treasurer of the United States at the U.S. Department of Treasury. A little bit redundant, but now I get it. And she's coming to town tomorrow, probably in part to tout what we were just discussing, I hope. Jovita Carranza, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much, Dan, and that's quite an introduction, so I appreciate it. You're absolutely right. I served as a U.S. Treasurer, and now I'm the head of Small Business Administration, and I really appreciate your introduction as it relates to small businesses that are still in need of funds, and they can go to their local bank to see if they're accepting any loans. So that was a great segue, so I appreciate that intro. And I really appreciate, Dan and Amy, being on your show this morning.
It's a pleasure to have you. And so give us your sense of the last 3 months and what the SBA has done with the Payroll Protection Program, but also with other lending programs for small business in this country, how you think it's gone and what has been learned.
Yes, Dan, I'll answer your question like in threefold. Number one, I'm really, really looking forward to traveling to Chicago and visiting with the small businesses in Chicago area. You know, Illinois received over $22 billion in the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, and that represents about 194,000, a little over 194,000 small businesses. So as I travel the country, I am out there trying to learn, you know, how the funds are being appropriated by the small businesses. In other words, how many employees are they retaining? How are they slowly opening their businesses? You mentioned earlier on about the hotels and the restaurant. I'm really focused on visiting some restaurants because this Paycheck Protection Program that the president put, you know, he took historic action making these half trillion dollars worth of funds to small businesses throughout the United States. Unprecedented, definitely needed. It served as a lifeline. Those are the testimonials these small businesses are providing me when I visit their businesses. And I'm very encouraged, Dan and Amy, that, you know, the PPP reached almost 5 million small businesses. And when we look at small businesses, we don't look at them as brick and mortar or as a loan number. We look at them as contributors to the community. They have families. They retain their employees. Those employees have families. So it's a really ecosystem that I'm out here to try to learn more about.
So when you arrive here in Chicago, you're going to go to businesses that have received the PPP loan. Are you going to be visiting small businesses that still need some financial help?
Yes, Amy, that's a great question, because I traveled to North Carolina, Dallas, Northern Pennsylvania. I've gone to Virginia, and now I'm in Michigan, and I'm on my way to Chicago. And so my focus is to identify how SBA, Small Business Administration, and this entire administration can stay focused on small business recovery and resiliency. You know, SBA is known to provide access to capital, and we're not done yet. As you know, we have about $130 billion in one portfolio, which is the PPP, and we're still working through the EIDL portfolio that has about the same amount of money. So you have about $300 billion that still is available. Again, because this president put small businesses front and center, and he provided the liquidity for these small businesses, we're now making sure that no small business is left behind.
Explain that other portfolio, the EIDL portfolio, how that operates.
Yes, that's known as the emergency, the economic injury disaster loan portfolio, and we call it the EIDL COVID. And that's where the grant, the $20 billion grant that was appropriated by Congress, was implemented. And so our execution in that particular portfolio is about $357 billion. And it has a pretty generous, more people are accessing loans, averaging about $60,000 in that portfolio. That's the average take. Obviously, there's small businesses that need more funds. That's why we recommend that they pursue the Paycheck Protection Program. And by the way, Dan and Amy, I wanted to share with you that in the PPP program, unlike the EIDL is a federal program. It's a federal loan program. So that's taxpayer funds going directly to small businesses. In the other PPP, that's 5,400 local banks that are providing funds to, at this point, over 5 million small businesses. So we have about 5,400 distribution vehicles or channels, which are all of the credit unions, the minority depository institutions. We also have the CDFIs. You know them as the community depository financial institutions. And a lot of non-traditional lenders like PayPal, Cabbage, Intuit. So we also engaged every type of lending institution that would provide funds for small businesses.
I want to talk about some of the concerns that have been raised about the PPP program for those that receive PPP funds or still could and might. One is any change of the rules with respect to the loan forgiveness after the fact, and concern that, you know, I was told it was going to be this with respect to covering overhead and paying employees, and then now you have some push to rewrite it to make it that for fraud prevention purposes or whatever. Just what would you say to any concern about sort of ex post facto rulemaking with respect to what the governance of PPP?
Thank you, Dan, because your question will help me clarify to your audience that every one of the guidances that we put out there, or the interim rules, or the frequently asked question type documentation that we put on SBA.gov to guide the borrower and the lender on how to appropriate these funds, the forgiveness is not changed. I don't see any immediate changes, at least at this point, because, again, the remaining $129 or $39 billion has not been appropriated yet, and we don't have any guidelines on those funds as of yet. But at this point, if there are any changes, we've definitely learned from all of the previous implementations that clarity, expediency, and also extensive communication is very, very important so as not to confuse the lenders or the borrowers. And so we'll be much better at it, and hopefully there won't be any changes. The forgiveness applications are actually being submitted as we speak.
And there was also criticism initially, and again, I think it was remarkable how much money was distributed as quickly as it was to get in the hands of small businesses using private banks. I think the program was about as good as you can do in that political environment in that moment of crisis. But there's still criticisms to say, hey, look, you have companies that weren't really in trouble that just took the free money. And meanwhile, there were other companies that are, you know, sort of got lost in the process, either with their bank or with SBA to access PPP. Is there any concern about the gaming of the system and businesses getting money that didn't need the money but taking it because it's free and forgivable?
I'll answer that question in two ways. The PPP did its job. We have seen extraordinary job retention. I personally have visited those small businesses, and I have evidence that these small businesses have retained their employees, maybe not all, but they have, and they're bringing them in as their volume or their customer base is growing. And this was not an economic issue. It was a medical pandemic issue. And so I urge all the small businesses, I would be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to urge all small businesses to really support the CDC guidelines and protect their employees and their customers. You see, the PPP has emerged as one of the most successful and consequential federal disaster responses. And to your point about where did the money go, Dan, the funding, 45% of the loans by volume and total value went to low-income counties. And I'm talking about counties very rural, the agriculture, metro, urban. And so, Dan, I assure you that every loan is being assessed and every community has been served. And those that perhaps they followed the law, those that you cite that were public companies or perhaps extended the interpretation of the particular guidance, and then realize, no, this is not for us, and then return the money. We have several billions of dollars that were returned. Of course, we haven't made that public, but I believe that everyone that should have received the money has received the money. And can we do more? Yes, we're focused on sole proprietors and independent contractors at this time.
What about small business owners in certain states where now they're shutting down again? I got a text message that they can't pay back. That this is now a time that they need loan forgiveness. Is there any chance that they can get a part or apply for this new round of that's in the $130 billion that's in that portfolio?
Amy, that's a great question because that has been brought into the discussion on both sides of the House. And so I've spoken to congressmen and senators on both parties. So this is really a bipartisan objective, and that is to reignite our local economies. As you know, in every state, Amy, small businesses represent half the GDP. They also represent 94% of the businesses, and they represent about 45% of the employee base. So it's really critical, Amy, that we listen hard to what the small businesses need and then respond as we have these past couple months.
She is Jovita Carranza, 26th Administrator of the U.S. Small Business Administration, former Treasurer of the United States at the U.S. Department of Treasury. And she's coming to town on July 2nd, tomorrow, from Michigan, where she is now. Jovita Carranza, thanks so much for joining us, and safe travels from Michigan to the Windy City.
Thank you, Dan. I'm looking forward to going back home, so thank you.
Thank you, and she joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Connect with Dan and Amy using the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.